Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and study another portion of God's Word. We're once again going to be studying another book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, as we looked at last week, was written shortly before Paul died. In fact, in the book he writes that he knows he's going to soon pass away, basically. Very similar to what Peter says in 2 Peter, that he knows he won't be with them for much longer. And so it's a book written in sort of a somber tone because he's writing to this young man, Timothy, who he knows is going to have a hard life, is going to have a different road to hoe, so to speak. And he writes this letter so that Timothy can endure the things that he's going to face because they're not going to be easy for him. Sometimes I think we want life to be easy for us. We pray for things, for anything that happens, things to be easy for us. I don't know if you watched any of the world championships. The track and field world championships are going on right now over in Europe. And you watch these athletes, and they're just they're tremendous what they can do. I mean, the way that they can run and stuff. And they look like their bodies have been sort of chiseled out of granite or something. You wonder how could you ever get in that kind of shape. Now, can you imagine walking up to a coach and say, "Coach, I want to run faster." And the coach said, "Well, fine, just go home and pray about it and you'll run faster." These guys train. These women train. And sometimes I think we look at Christianity that way. We think, well, I just pray about something. And we don't think about discipline in our lives. We don't think about godly training. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, you know, physical training is of some benefit, but training for godliness is for benefit now and for eternity. And really, the book of 2 Timothy is written along those lines. It's written to Timothy, "Timothy, these are the things you're going to have to do to endure. And it's not going to be easy, and God's not going to fix everything for you. He wants you to endure hardships, because these make us into the kind of people that we should be." There's a couple of scriptures that we even mentioned one this morning on our Sunday school. But notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. He says, "We rejoice in our suffering." That's a very hard thing to do, isn't it? When do you rejoice when something bad happens to you? But that's what Paul says. He says, "Rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance." And that word endurance, or to endure, to me is one of the central words through the book of 2 Timothy. You see it come up again and again, that idea. Timothy, you must endure. We must endure because it produces our character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Look over to James. He says much of the same thing. "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." When bad things happen to you, consider it joy. Why? Because these make us in the kind of people we should be. This is like being trained for eternity. It's like an athlete going into training. When these things happen to you, it produces the kind of character that God wants. It's not easy, though. It's never easy. In fact, in Hebrews it says, "Endure hardships to discipline." We don't like to think about discipline. It's not one of those words we really like to see, but it's throughout Scriptures, the idea of self-control and discipline. When we pray, do we pray for discipline? Do we pray for God to give us the strength to overcome trials? Or do we just pray for these things to be solved by God? If you ever think about how God treated the prophets in the Old Testament, think about the prophet Elisha. If you go back in the Old Testament, there's not a greater prophet anywhere than Elisha. He raised one from the dead. He made an iron axe head float in water. He did things that, you know, people just don't do these kind of things. Elisha worked great miracles from God. In fact, if you go through, we think about the miracles, you realize how many prophets in the Old Testament worked miracles? I could only come up with three. Elijah, Elisha, and Moses, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, worked the great plagues over Egypt. Most of the prophets, they never worked miracles like Elisha. You know how Elisha died? If you go to the 2 Kings 13 and 14, it says, Elisha got sick, and the sickness led to his death. Here was a man that had, Naaman, who had leprosy. It was Elisha that told him to go dip in the River Jordan and be healed. Yet he got sick, like any one of us, and he died. If you go through the prophets of old, God didn't treat them special. They got sick just like we get sick. If you go through Hebrews, he talks about how so many of the prophets were mistreated. He said they were stoned. One was sawed in two. They suffered greatly. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's going to bring his own example. Paul himself is in prison. He's in prison. He's waiting to find out if he's going to live or die. And he really thinks he's probably going to be put to death. Here's Paul. We pray for good travel. Paul was shipwrecked numerous times. He was beaten. He was put into prison. And what Paul was trying to get Timothy to see, Timothy, your life's going to be hard. And there's going to be hard things happen to you. But you can endure it and be the kind of man that God wants you to be. And that message goes for us. I think sometimes we expect Christianity or we expect God's just going to make our lives very, very easy. And there's no promise of that in Scripture. But the promise for Scripture is that He will make our lives what it should be. And it will mold us for eternity. And we live for eternity. And that's really what the book of 2 Timothy is about. How do we endure these things? These things are going to happen to us. Our lives aren't going to always be easy. How do we make it day by day when our lives aren't so easy? And that's the message we see in 2 Timothy. Look with me as we remember Jesus in this book. Look over to 2 Timothy. We're going to be starting in verse 8 of chapter 2. And notice what Paul says. And it may not be, you know, if you think about, somebody says, remember Jesus, what do you think about when you remember Jesus? Listen what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. This is the principal parts of the gospel, those two points. For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may attain salvation that is in Christ Jesus. If you look over to Romans chapter 1, he starts Romans very much the same way. He says, which he, that is God, promised beforehand through the prophets in the old scriptures concerning his son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the son of God in power according to the resurrection of the dead. Now, what I want you to think about, if you had to remember Jesus, what two points would you come up with? Paul brings out two very vivid points. And this is what focuses our mind. What he's really telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, when things go hard, when you can't really see what's going to happen for you tomorrow, think back to Jesus, and it will give you strength to make it through tomorrow. Go back and think about Jesus, because he had to suffer. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, did not the Son have to suffer these things? I had to go to the cross. Paul, if he goes through his life, I suffered everything for what? For the elect, so that God's word would be carried out. I endured these things. We must endure them too. And the way we can endure them is remembering Jesus. And he starts off remembering Jesus by his resurrection. And that's the very principal part of all the gospel. If you remember from chapter 1, he says Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Well, how did he abolish death? By showing us what comes next. See, death is that great unknown. It's that great wall that none of us can see to the other side. But through Jesus, we can see the other side. Because in His resurrection, we can see what comes next. We know that we're going to rise because He arose. And through His resurrection, He abolished that fear of death and brought life, that is true life now, and immortality, eternal life, to light. He made them known to us through His resurrection. And thus the resurrection marks really the center of all the gospel. And Paul, he says, it's with power that he would proclaim the Son of God by his resurrection. How do we know Jesus was truly the Son of God? By the resurrection. Everything comes back to that one event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But the next point may not be one that you would have thought of. Why does he bring out the point that Jesus was descended from David? What's so important that Jesus be called the Son of David? Well, if you go back, and it really comes to the faithfulness of God. If you look back in the Scriptures, the 2 Samuel, this was when Nathan comes to David. David's the king, great king over Israel. This is roughly 1,000 years before Jesus. And Nathan comes to David, and he says to David, I will raise up from your offspring after you, and who shall come after your own body, in other words, his descendant, and I will establish his kingdom. And your house and your kingdom shall be made shall be sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, in the Old Testament, sometimes the word forever doesn't necessarily mean eternity. It means to the end of the age. But here, as brought out in the New Testament, it truly does mean forever. Because look at Luke chapter 1. This is when the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and tells her that she's going to be with child. And Gabriel ends with these words. He says, "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." That's why Jesus was called the Son of David. "And he will reign over the house of Israel," Jacob, or Israel, God's people, "and all the kingdoms, and his kingdom will have no end." The kingdom established by Christ. In Acts chapter 15, about 20 years after Jesus goes back to heaven, the church is about to split on this idea of how do we bring these Gentiles, these people whom we never wanted to have anything to do with before, into the church with the Jews? How do we all become one? And James stands up and he reminds them what was written by the prophets hundreds of years before, that God foresaw this. And he says, "And this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen," David's house that Christ would rule over. "And I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, and the remnant of mankind may seek it." Now the next part brings out the idea that the Jews and Gentiles, "and the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things from old." So this was foretold from the very beginning, back all the way to Samuel, and fulfilled in the New Testament. And the one thing that Paul wants, I think, Timothy to see, if God promised David 1,000 years before that this was going to happen, that one of his descendants, the Messiah himself, would be one of his descendants, God was faithful to that promise. In the same way, he's faithful to the promises he makes to you and I. We serve a God who is faithful. This plan of salvation, it wasn't just come up yesterday. It was always in God's mind. As Paul brings out before, it was before the beginning of time itself, God planned this. And God is faithful. He will see it through. And he will see it through in our lives. If you go back to chapter 1, one of the ideas that Paul brings out is the idea that the things that he's entrusted to Paul, God will guard that against that day. Our God is faithful. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. And that's what he wants to see. He made this promise to David 1,000 years ago, and he's keeping it. He makes promises to us that he will be with us, that we can endure with him. And he's going to keep those promises. Our God is faithful. And that's the idea throughout 2 Timothy, that we can endure because we serve a God who is truly faithful to us. So we don't look at the temporary. We don't look at this life around us and worry about this and that, because we serve a God for eternity and not for the little things that sometimes draw us astray. And we endure with our Lord. Now, the next section, Paul goes through four ideas. And these four ideas that he brings out really are the heart of this whole book. And the book really revolves around those. And listen what he says. The first one, if we died with him, we will also live with him. What does it mean to die to Christ? Well, in one way, it means to be faithful to the end, and we're going to see that. But another way, look over to Romans chapter 6 and notice how close this parallels to what he says here. If you look at chapter 8 of Romans. If you look over to Romans, notice what Paul says. And I noticed a few of the verses. I didn't read the whole section, but it's a great section if we go through the whole chapter. Chapter 6 of Romans. In chapter 6 of Romans, Paul writes, "What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin live in it?" Now look at verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" By this he means when you were baptized into Christ, you participated in his death. It was like you were there with him. You participated in his death because you died to this world to live for a new world, a new life in Christ. For if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we shall certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. And see, that points again to the idea of why the resurrection, through the resurrection, we know we can be with Him. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we also live with Him. Now, I believe in that last verse, when he says live with Him, he's not talking about just in heaven. He's talking about now. And that's why in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he says that Jesus brought life and immortality to light. That first life is now, and immortality is forever. We have the abundant life now, the new life now, when we arise from the waters of baptism, the newness of life. We're washed clean of our past to walk the new life. And that's what Paul wants Timothy to remember. Remember this, Timothy. If you live with Him, if you died with Him, if you started that walk with Him, then you should be living with Him now. And you're going to live with Him for all eternity. In verse 8, chapter 8 of Romans, he said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in us. We have the promise of eternity. And just as God was faithful to David and brought the Christ through his descendants, He's faithful to us. And so we have these promises. If we died with Him, we will live with Him. Now look at the next one. If we endure, we will reign with Him. If there's any passage I think that really goes around this, is the idea of we need to endure with the Lord. He's not promising Timothy it's going to be easy. If you go through the whole book of 2 Timothy, he tells him a lot of the troubles he's going to have. He's going to be persecuted. Paul brings out himself, look what's happened to me, Timothy. I'm in prison. It's going to happen to you too. But if we endure, we will reign with Him. In Revelation 2:10, it says that if we're faithful unto death, He will give us a crown of life. That idea of reigning with Him. And Paul's going to use the very crown of life later on in 2 Timothy. In Revelation 13, 9 and 10, if you remember back about a year or so ago, and we had a series of sermons on Revelation, I believe this verse, these verses, or especially verse 10, is sort of is that theme verse in Revelation. And it goes through what the book is really about. It, just like 2 Timothy, it's a book about endurance. And notice what John says. It says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to that captivity he will go. Now, that's not what we always want to hear, but look at Paul. He was to go to prison. He went to prison. What John is saying is some of you that are going to go to prison. And to prison, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to endure that. If anyone is slain with the sword he will be slain. There are some of you that are going to give your life for the Lord. And if that's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. Here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. We have to endure these things. That's what the message of John is in Revelation, that there are things we have to endure. And the same message goes through 2 Timothy. There are things we have to endure. And it's not always going to be easy. But we have a God who is faithful and will be there with us. And that's the message, too, that's in Revelation and in this book of 2 Timothy, that we have a God who's faithful, who's with us. Now look at the next one. If we disown, or some translation, if we deny Him, He will disown us. Jesus says much the same thing in Matthew chapter 10. So if anyone acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father. You want Jesus to stand before you on the last day, before the throne, and put His arm around you and say to God, God, this guy's a pretty good guy, or this woman, she's pretty good. I think she ought to go to heaven with me. Do you want that to happen? You want Jesus to put His arm around you? Then you got to put your arm around Him now and tell your friend, you know, this Jesus, He's got the answers that you need. You put your arm around Jesus now, He's going to put His arm around you on that last great day. That's what He says. You disown me now, I'm going to disown you then. If you acknowledge me now, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. If you go through 2 Timothy, this idea of disowning or discrediting or denying somebody really struck home with Paul. Over in chapter 4, look at what Paul says. Do your best to come to me, writing to Timothy, For Demas, in love with this world, has deserted me. It goes on. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. And Luke is also only one with me. If you look on down to verse 16, he says, at my first defense, everyone deserted me. No one stood by me. Paul knew what it was like to be deserted. Have you ever had a friend desert you? Somebody that you really depended on, and you turned to them in a time of need and they weren't there? All of us have had that. Or you can easily have that. What Paul is getting Timothy to see, that may happen to you, Timothy. Your friends may desert you. Even those you depend on may not be there. But God will be. He is not ever going to desert you. Our God is faithful. Look at the last one. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. That's really the message of 2 Timothy. We must endure, but we serve a faithful God. He will be there for us. He will not desert us. If you go through the Psalms, one of the words that comes out often, David describes God as his rock. I don't know if you ever thought about what David means by that rock. He actually uses it a couple different ways. In some ways, he uses it sort of like the Rock of Gibraltar, this fort that nobody can take over, it's a huge rock. But it also has that idea that it's immovable, that's always going to be there. God is our rock. He is faithful. We may desert Him. Our friends may desert us. But God is there. He never moves. He's always there. And that's why in some ways in the verse before, which says disown or deny, we can deny, but we can go back. God is always there. We may deny Him, but we can always go back to Him. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock to whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. God is our rock. There are times in our lives where we're going to come up short, but God is there. There are times in our lives where things are going to go against us, and that's what Paul is warning Timothy about. There are times in your life, Timothy, you just have to endure hardships. There are no easy ways out. There's no way that you can get around it. You just have to go through it. You have to endure it. But God will be there with you. We serve a God who is always there with us. He was there for the prophets of old. If you listen to the end of Hebrews, where he talks about the great prophets and how many of them died, he said, but they were seeking a reward, not of this world, but of the next. And that's where our reward is. We seek a reward that comes only through Jesus Christ. 3 points, and the lesson is yours today. How do we manage the trials of our lives? Do we pray for a quick solution, quick fixes, or do we pray for discipline and endurance in the Lord? We need to encourage each other. One of the things that each one of us, we don't hopefully all go through the trials of life at the same time, so that we can endure and pick each other up. That's why it's so important to have fellowship in the body, so we can pick each other up. If one of us is down, hopefully one of us can know that and help lift that other person up. Paul was trying to lift Timothy up. Even though Paul himself is in prison, he writes this letter to Timothy so that Timothy can be lifted up. We need to be aware of each other's needs and lift each other up and encourage each other. And lastly, we need to know that if we endure, if we're faithful, the crown of life awaits for us. This world doesn't offer us that. That is only in Jesus. And it comes when we remember His resurrection and we remember the promises that God made all the way back to David. And if even you go back to Abraham, which we looked at a few weeks ago, Abraham lived like 1,800 years. God promised Abraham one of his descendants would be the Messiah, through all the world would be blessed through him. And God was faithful to Abraham. And Abraham walked faithfully with God. This morning, think about your life and how you've lived. Are you faithful to God? Remember that you serve a God that is always there. He's a rock. And if you have need in any way, He is always there for you. If you've never died with your Lord, if you've never put Him on in baptism, there's not a better time today than to do that. Or if you have, but you haven't been faithful to Him, there's never a better time to come back to Him than this morning. If you have need in any way, won't you come? Let's gather with us.